I think the one thing that's going to really set the tone is if Chicago decides to take a center at three, or if they take a winger. Because if they take Martone at three, I think that changes things a little bit. But if they take a center, expect a really early run on centers, especially for the Flyers. I think the Flyers, the Predators, and the Bruins are all taking a center there.
I think that if they take a center, let's say they do take Frondell like you had, right?
Yeah.
You're going to go Frondell, and then after that, you're going to have, not in no order, Brady Martin go, the Neuers go, James Higgins go, and Jake O'Brien, I think, are all going to go at the same exact time.
Yeah, I think if that, the Chicago takes a center at three, I think you're going to get to see a really early run on center.
Welcome to the Checking From Behind podcast. I'm your host, Zach, as always, joined by my co-host, Preston. And today's episode is going to be a little bit of a shorter one because the NHL draft is 6 days away. It's Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be doing our mock draft today, but we're only going to be doing the top 15 picks. If you guys want the rest of the entire first round, head over to our Instagram, follow. I'm going to be posting that later this week for us. My number one is going to be Matthew Schaefer out of the Erie Otters in the OHL. In 17 games played, he had 22 points, 7 goals, 15 assists. He's been the consensus number one for the last, feels like, a couple months now. Originally it was Higgins, and there was chatter maybe it's going to be Mesa, and now it's Schaefer.
Yeah, I think to me, just the opportunity for the Islanders, they're lucky to even be having this pick. You know, they won the draft lottery. They moved up 11 spots to get the number one overall pick. And now you have a chance. I'm not sure if Schaefer's the best player in this draft, but I think he's the best defenseman in not a great defenseman class. And for the Islanders, I also have them taking Schaefer number one overall. I think it's just too hard of an opportunity for them to pass up on taking a potential number one franchise defenseman. This kind of reminds me of the 2021 draft when the Sabres selected Owen Power. Might not end up being necessarily the best player out of that draft class, but you just can't pass up the opportunity to get a player like that on your team.
It's very hard to find a franchise defenseman. I think Schaefer is that. I think defenseman and center are the two positions in the draft where it's very hard to find them being a franchise guy. Second overall, I have the San Jose Sharks taking center Michael Mesa out of the OHL gang. Played for the Saginaw Spirit. 65 games played, 134 points.
Yeah.
The Sharks, they just need anything right now. And if they had first overall, they take Schaefer. They need a defenseman bad. But I think Mesa is the second best player in this draft. Honestly, he could be the best.
I think Mesa all around is the best player in this draft. It's just not a great defenseman class. You know, in the first round, I'd be shocked if there were 10 defensemen taken, to be completely honest with you. Later rounds, you might see, but at least in the top 10, 15, you might only see two or three defensemen taken off the board. It's just that weak of a class this year for defensemen. But Michael Mesa, I think that kid could be, I don't even know if he would necessarily be a number two center. You might have to split time between him and Michael Cimbrini playing on the wing. But yeah, this is a no-brainer for the Sharks. You take arguably the best player in the draft at number two, and now you have, for the foreseeable future, you have an elite center lineup with Michael Cimbrini, Michael Mesa, and Will Smith.
Yeah, and Will Smith can play the wing too.
Yeah, I mean, you can put him anywhere, but just you can't pass up the opportunity to get a player like this at two, because ideally you never want to be picking this high again. So you're happy with what you can get here.
Third overall, I have the Chicago Blackhawks taking right winger Porter Martone out of the OHL for the Mississauga. 57 games played, 98 points. The Blackhawks finally get the guy that they pair with Connor Bedard. And originally, maybe if Mesa falls, they could potentially take a center.
I mean, it's an interesting pick here for the Blackhawks. I don't think that would be a bad pick at all if they took Malone at three. They really need a winger to play with Connor Bedard. He was kind of in jail last year with the wings he had. But I have him taking center Anton Frondell out of Djurgården in the Swedish league. I think he's just, I don't think you can miss an opportunity to add another elite center to your team and and bolster your center lineup, because Chicago really needs everything, to be completely honest with you. The only guy they really have is a franchise center in Carter Bedard. And outside of that, they need players everywhere. And I think, you know, this is a deep center class. Chicago's a team I could see trading back in to the top 15 of the draft, too. They have the assets that if they wanted to, if let's say a guy like Porter Malone falls maybe to like 8 or 9, 7 area. I could see them being really aggressive and trying to move up, because I do think if Chicago doesn't take him, I think there is a real chance he can fall that far.
You think that if Chicago doesn't take Martone, that he's falling like close to like maybe potentially out of the top 10 type?
I think it would be like around 7, 8, 9-ish. I think, because just looking at the teams and their needs, almost every team after the Blackhawks desperately need a center.
I do think if there's one team to target, if Martone, if he's still available at 7, there's one team to target to, and that's Buffalo's 9th overall pick.
Yeah, I Buffalo's another team I expect to be aggressive in this draft. I don't know if Steph is necessarily about moving up unless a player like Malone falls down.
You keep saying Marlone.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
It's annoying. No, it's fine.
Martone. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I mean, if you think that's bad, just wait till we get to some of these other players' names. But yeah, Chicago. Martone. Martone would not be a bad pick here, but I have him taking Frondell, the center, just bolster their center depth.
Coming in at number 4, I have the Utah Mammoth taking another center, Brady Martin out of the OHL. A lot of OHL guys. This is probably going to be a controversial take. I know Brady Martin, since the scouting combine, has been rising up a lot of draft boards, and I think Frondell might be the better player, but it feels like Utah is just in love with Brady Martin. And I look at Brady Martin, and what he can bring to Utah, I think, would be valuable. And the way that Martin plays the game, put him on Utah, and I think he's contributing right away. And a lot of these guys, too, I think they can contribute right away in their first NHL season, whether they're in the season, this upcoming season, or it's the following season, whatever. And I think either way, Utah's taking a center, whether it is a Frondell, whether it is a Martin, whether it is maybe a Denori, if he ends up getting drafted 4th overall, which I don't think he's going to, but we've seen crazier shit happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that'd be a bad pick. This is Utah's in another spot where they're in a very fortunate situation where they move up from 14 to 4. Mm-hmm. They win the draft lottery as well. This is a team where I could see them possibly trading out.
Ooh.
I think Utah's made the pick available. I don't think it's a secret that the pick's available for the right price. I mean, it's expensive to move them to the top 5 in the draft, so we'll see. But if they don't end up trading that pick, I have them taking Caleb Denoyers out of Moncton in the QMJHL. Like I said, I think Utah's in a very good spot to just take the best player available on their board. I really like your pick as well. I think he would fit like that brand of hockey they're trying to build. But I think for Utah, I think Denoyers, we're going to have a lot of centers coming up here. Yes. So the next best center on the board, in my opinion, that is him.
Coming in at the 5th overall pick, I have the Nashville Predators taking Anton Frondell, center out of the SHL. He had 25 points in 29 games played. He had 11 goals as well, which I believe there's a very short list of NHL players in their draft year out of the SHL that had more goals than him. I don't know exactly the players on the list, but either way, the Predators are in another situation where I think they have to take a center here. Whoever's available, you see between like 4 through 6, 4 through 7-ish, where there's going to be a ton of centers. There's basically going to be nothing but centers. And a lot of these teams need a center, and the Nashville Predators are one of those teams, especially because their team is getting older. We saw them go out and get a Stamkos. He's 37, 38 years old now. I know he's on a bigger contract, but you need to start bringing in some youth, and a lot of the Predators' youth is in the bottom 6. It's not really higher in the lineup. So then you bring in a guy like a Frondell, and I think that it can help start this retool that I think the Predators should go on.
Yeah, for me, at 5, I have the Nashville Predators taking James Higgins out of Boston College. I think this would be a no-brainer pick for them based on how my draft board has fallen so far. As for them to Jake Higgins, I think he's a player that could jump into the NHL right away if he decides not to go back to BC for another year, or which he could do. He hasn't fully committed yet to, I believe, coming to the NHL right out of college. It depends on the situation he's in. But I think if he ends up going to Nashville, I think they would have a need for him right away, and that would have possibly open up the opportunity for him to play right away. And I also think he's one of the few players in this draft that would be ready to make the jump right away. I think there's only 3 or 4 players that you could see do that this year, and I think he's one of them.
I like that pick. I don't have Higgins going just yet, but I look at Higgins, and he's a guy that A, can make the jump. B, I don't understand his fall through the draft.
Yeah, neither do I. I don't get it, because like a year ago, like people were talking, this is the James Higgins draft.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he might not even be a top 5 pick now.
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
Coming in at the 6th overall pick, I have the Flyers taking Caleb Denoyers, a center out of QMJHL Moncton, as you guys know. I have him going 6th to the Flyers. Again, a team like the Flyers, they need a center desperately. And I look at Caleb, and he could be a potential number one center for this team for the next decade plus. The way that he plays the game, and to be able to pair him on the Flyers with a bunch of, a little bit of their young talent, but also they have some older guys. I don't think he's going to make the jump to the NHL this season, but over the next few seasons in his development in the NHL, I think he is a solid fit for the Flyers.
And I have the Philadelphia Flyers taking Jake O'Brien, a center out of Brantford in the OHL, another team that's desperately needing a center. I think if James Hagans falls here, I think the Flyers are taking him. I think these 5, 6, 7 spots are where you could see Hagans potentially go in this draft with three center needy teams all in a row. I think wherever he falls to, I think that team's taking him there. But Jake O'Brien, I think, would be the next best center available on my board for the Flyers to take.
Coming in at the 7th overall pick, the Boston Bruins select center James Hagans. I finally have Hagans coming to Boston. And is he a Boston boy or is, no? Yeah, he's an island. No, he's from Long Island.
Yeah, but he goes to BC. Yeah, but okay. That would be a dream pick for the Bruins.
That would be a dream pick. If he falls at 7, I think there's no way he goes past 7 to the Bruins. I think he's going to be taken in the Bruins. Another team that, again, struggling with the first line center.
They have
role.
No center depth.
They have no center depth at all. You have a Pavel Zacha, a Charlie Coyle. No, they traded to Coyle.
Coyle's gone. They have Casey Middlestat now.
Yeah, and they have Lindholm. So not great. And I think James Hagans, like you said, NHL-ready player. He can hit his ceiling is going to be a number one center. And if he develops into, he doesn't need to be an 80, 90-point guy. Like, you know, you've compared him to like a Jack Eichel before in private conversations. He doesn't need to be that player. I think that is a good ceiling. But just be a guy that can come into the league and contribute, whether it's offensively, defensively. He doesn't need to come in and light it up right away. He doesn't even need to be a 90-point guy at all in his career. Just be a good two-way center for the Bruins. And that's Bruins style of hockey.
Okay, so the guy I have the Bruins picking here, which I think would be a really good fit for the Bruins team, and you had him going a lot higher in your mock draft, is that Brady Martin. I think this would be another really, really great. I think he fits that Bruins DNA of the kind of hot players that they look for, a big power forward, works really hard. I think he would be a great fit in Boston. I think he would be a fan favorite there, too.
Getting some comparisons to Tage Thompson, too, legitimately. The big 6'5 power forward who has a ridiculous shot. I don't hate that pick at all if he ends up falling a little bit. Quick time out before we get back to the episode, you beauties. As someone like myself who's into fitness and needs a little bit of an extra boost before a lift, or maybe I need just a little bit of energy before my next hockey game, and even when doing pod stuff to bring you guys the best content possible, Dubby always has me covered. Whether you needed to stay awake at work or need a little bit of a jolt to get you through the day, Dubby will always provide you that spark you need. There's no sugar, no crash, no artificial flavors or artificial dyes, just flavored caffeine. 150 milligrams of caffeine in one serving, which is equivalent to 2 cups of coffee. Make sure to head over to Dubby.gg and use code CFBPOD for 10% off any order. Coming in at the 8th overall pick, I have the Seattle Kraken taking center Jake O'Brien. Another center, which is nuts. The center class is nuts. But the way that Jake O'Brien plays, you throw him on the Kraken. The Kraken, they have a couple of middle six centers. I don't think they have that number one center yet. And with the center class being so deep, whoever the Kraken have a crack at, you take that center. And
I see what you did there. He didn't even mean to do that.
No pun intended.
I think Seattle can hold off on the center right now. I still think they're banking on Shane Wright and Matty Beniers still developing. Beniers, I don't know what's going on with him, but I still think that why can't I fucking remember his name now? I just literally just said his name.
Matty Beniers?
No, the other guy.
Shane Wright.
I don't know why I blanked on that. I still think he could be a potential number one center, so I don't have them taking a center here. And I think after O'Brien, in my mock draft, getting taken to 6, the center class kind of takes a little bit of a fall die because those are clearly the best guys.
Yeah.
I have them taking Radim Mertka. I probably said that awful. Yeah. Who is, funnily enough, playing for Seattle in the WHL. I think Seattle desperately needs defensemen. Their top, they gave Brandon Montour a boatload of money to come over last year from the Panthers, and I thought he was good for them. And I think this would be a guy that could probably play in a couple years, a year or two, and contribute immediately to the Kraken. They need help defense everywhere they can get.
I don't hate that. Coming in at the 9th overall pick, the Buffalo Sabres select defenseman Jaxon Smith. The way that he can shut down opponents on the rush, shut down opponents defensively. The Sabres need a defenseman like a Jaxon Smith or like a Mirka if Mirka falls, if he's available. But I like Jaxon Smith in terms of the Sabres, they need a partner for whether it's Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin. And Jaxon Smith's still a couple years away from being truly NHL ready. But if the Sabres can just have more like of a bridge defenseman back there, I think it can hold the place before Jaxon Smith is ready to take that jump to the league.
For me, the Sabres, this is another pick I could see being possibly on the move. Mm-hmm. The Sabres, I think, are desperate to get a guy that can contribute to the NHL right now. So I could see them potentially trading out of this spot if they can get a trade for like a good NHL veteran player. But to me, this, as a Sabres fan at 9, this would be kind of a dream pick for me. And I have the Sabres taking Porter Marton. I said it right this time. at 9, I think there's no way. Realistically, I think he's there at 9. I have seen some other mock drafts where people have him being around there. Like I said, I think if Chicago doesn't take him, I think you could see him fall a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think that's a guy Seattle could also take there with their pick at 8. But if he falls at 9, I don't think there's any chance the Sabres will trade out of that pick, and I think you have to take him.
Yeah, he's one of the few guys that if he's somehow available at 9, don't trade the pick. And I'm all for trading a 9th overall pick, but if Martone's there,
you take the pick and
run with it. Yeah. I like that. I don't know if he's going to fall that far, but again,
I think if Chicago doesn't take him at 3, I think there's a real chance.
I don't hate that.
Because I think there is a real chance Chicago takes him at 3.
There's a high shot.
Yeah.
Coming in at the 10th overall pick, the Anaheim Ducks select left winger Victor Eklund, brother of William Eklund of the San Jose Sharks. Eklund is a sharpshooter. He plays a lot like his brother William, and you add Eklund to this already loaded young pool of forwards of the Anaheim Ducks. You throw him on the second line right away, he's going to be a 30-goal scorer in this league for multiple seasons too. And his shiftiness, his IQ, his vision, all of his offensive game thrown into the NHL. He has a very, okay, I don't want to throw out this comparison, but I look at him a lot like a Cole Caulfield, being a smaller guy, a shifty guy with a great shot.
That's a good comparison.
His defense might lack a little bit, but I think as you get in the league, a lot of these guys coming into the draft, most of them are not known for their defense. You see them put up a point per game, a point and a half per game, wherever they're playing in the league in their draft year, and then you develop that defense. And I think Eklund would be huge for the Ducks.
Okay, well, I think this is our third agreement so far at our mock draft. I also have them taking Victor Eklund at 10. I agree with everything that you said. I think the Ducks are lacking a sharpshooter right now. They have a lot of good power forwards, a lot of good physical guys, but, you know, Trevor Zegras has kind of fallen off a mountain. He's one of their few skill guys that they have, and I think they could use a sniper like that.
Coming in at the 11th overall pick, I have the Pittsburgh Penguins taking Radim Mirka, WHL, out of Seattle. The Penguins are in need, I feel like, of every young talent right now, whether it's forward or defense. And at this point, this is the best player available, in my opinion, and it's just Mirka, defenseman. They need to rebuild. It's not just a rebuild, and I think Mirka stopped one of that. Get a defenseman who's very physical, who is a giant of a defenseman, who can shut down defenders. And then in a couple seasons when Crosby's, even though he's towards the end of his career, still has 2 or 3 years left. Malkin, there's reports that he's not going to play past the season. You can really start to rebuild. And Mirka is that pillar. Is he going to be your franchise defenseman? Who knows? Time will only tell. But he's going to be one of the many pillars that the Penguins have.
Yeah, I agree with you for the point of, like, I think they take the best player available at this pick. They really need everything, too. Like you said, Crosby's getting older. This might be the last year for Evgeny Malkin in Pittsburgh, which is kind of a crazy thing to think about. Mm-hmm. He's getting older, and Penguins have said they're not going to re-sign him. So he either retires or he's going to be wearing another jersey, which would be really weird. But I have them picking a Jaxon Smith defenseman out of Tri-City. You know, I had Mirka already off my board. I think it makes more sense for them to take a defenseman here than a forward, because they really lack any really young, good defenseman. You know, that's why they traded for Erik Karlsson a few years ago, because they have no young guys on the blue line. Mm-hmm. They need more help there right now, I think, than forward.
Yeah, I think defense, even though I think that Roger McQueen at this point in my draft board is potentially a better player than Mirka too, I think that defense is probably the way to go, even though I do still think Mirka is a better player than Roger McQueen and a better fit on Pittsburgh. Coming in at the 12th overall pick, I have the Rangers taking center Roger McQueen, WHL out of Brandon. The Rangers are in a similar situation like the Penguins. They're getting older, even though they just traded Kreider for a prospect in the third round pick. Great cap dump. But they need to get younger up front. And I know their player development has been completely awful, but it doesn't help when you trade Kako and he lights it up in Seattle. Lafreniere is on a down season. Yeah. Keandre Miller, you don't know what's going on with him. Draft Roger McQueen, get the center. Mika Zibanejad is not getting any younger. Panarin's on the last year of his deal. Just go forward, get that pillar, and then go from there.
I also have them taking Roger McQueen to 12. Yeah, this is a really interesting moment for the Rangers where they kind of have to make a decision where are they going to keep going down this road where they keep getting high-priced veterans, you know, that get you a couple good years and fall off a cliff, or do you fully recommit, like fully commit to kind of doing a retool slash, because I don't think they're bad enough. They need to rebuild, especially when they have Igor Shesterkin back there, but kind of retool and start getting in some young talent. I think McQueen would be a good start for that. And, you know, I hope I'm not saying this, that they're just going to use him as trade bait in a couple of years and they're trying to like get a high-priced rental on the trade market at the deadline.
That'd be some Drury type shit to do.
Yeah.
And
if he still has a job by then.
Yeah, if he still has a job. Coming in at the 13th overall pick, I have the Detroit Red Wings taking Kashawn Aitchison, a defenseman out of Barry.
I like that pick.
The Red Wings, Yzerman, listen, I'm telling you, go defenseman here. Who cares about forward? You already have enough forwards. Defenseman, their defense is brutal.
Yeah, it's bad. Outside of Moritz Seider, they're bad.
And Edvinson, who is a young talent back there. But
those vets are awful.
They're awful. And thankfully for Yzerman, they're all expiring deals after this season.
Detroit, I think, is going to be another busy team this free agency.
I agree with that. And I do think that if they don't go to defenseman, Yzerman should be fired on spot, because it's clear that the one thing holding them back outside of goaltending is on the blue line and Kashawn Aitchison.
Yeah, goal scoring is not their issue.
No, exactly. And Kashawn is the good fit for the Red Wings.
I think he's the best defenseman available left at that position, and I'm going to agree with you on that pick. I think they take Kashawn Aitchison there. Like best, I think, clear-cut best defenseman available at that pick, and I think it's just a no-brainer for the Red Wings.
Coming in at the 15th overall pick, I have the Vancouver 14th.
Canucks. 14th? Did I? You skipped the Blue Jackets.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Blue Jackets. My bad. Coming at the 14th overall pick, I have the Columbus Blue Jackets taking Justin Carbonneau. I really hope I said that right. A right winger out of the QMJHL of Blainville. Boys, Brienne. Holy fuck, Justin. Jesus. Yeah, I just think that the Blue Jackets, they could go. I wouldn't have them go in defenseman right here, but all the defensemen are just not good at this point, and they kind of lose out being 14th overall. I think right now Justin's potentially the best player available. Of course, it's kind of a clusterfuck once you get to like 13 to like 17 or 18, where I think any of those guys can really be taken anywhere in this little cluster. But overall, I think Justin's the pick for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, Columbus, I think they're in a situation where I think if a guy like Aitchison is there at 14, you take him and run with him. He could be there. It depends on if Detroit decides to take a weird off-the-board pick that nobody sees coming again. But I have the Blue Jackets taking Carter Bear, left wing out of Everett in the WHL. He did have a shortened season due to injury, but when he was playing, he had 40 goals in 56 games. The kid's a scorer. And I think the Blue Jackets lack scoring depth right now, like, and goaltending mainly. Those are their biggest issues.
Yeah, and I don't hate Carter Bear, a 40-goal scorer, and overall –
He'd be in a couple years in the NHL, but I think that's a good pick for the future.
Coming in at the 15th overall pick now, the Vancouver Canucks, I have them taking Lyndon Lakovic out of the WHL, Moose Jaw Warriors. He had 58 points in 47 games played. Doesn't jump off the page for you in terms of production, but the Vancouver Canucks, I think with their situation right now, you go out and you get a winger. He can play left or right side, doesn't matter, and he can produce for you, and it might not be the strongest pick for the Canucks, but again, I feel like they kind of need a defenseman. There's no defenseman. Take a winger, and maybe I could see a Carter Bear being taken here.
Yeah,
because again, a 40 goal should not be overlooked as no matter what coming into your draft year, and I think that's valuable.
I think if he wasn't coming off a torn Achilles, I think he'd be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, and a little bit, some teams could be a little bit scared of that, so that's why he's falling. Yeah,
I could see him falling really late in the first round, honestly, if teams are really afraid of his recovery for that injury. But from what I've heard, he's recovering well, and I expect him to be a top 20 pick, though.
Yeah.
I have the Canucks taking a center, Cole Reshny, out of Victoria in the WHL. They traded away JT Miller, their number two center on that team, outside of Pettersson. Not a ton of great center depth. I think they kind of need to start rebuilding their prospect pool and get ready for a long-term kind of restructuring, because this is honestly not a great pick to have at 15. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere where unless some guy falls really deep, you're not going to get a really high impact player for a few years. And Vancouver's kind of needs a high impact player now, because they're in like the worst spot you can be in the league is their mid. Like, they're not bad enough to be like a top lottery pick, but they're not good enough to really be a true playoff contender right now.
They're in a rough spot with everything that's going on between the Quinn Hughes stuff and Brock Besser leaving.
If they trade Quinn Hughes, they're rebuilding.
It's over.
You blow it up. Yeah.
It's over. Do you want to? Yeah. What's up?
I just wanted to just talk a little bit more about the draft class in general.
Go ahead.
This is one of the. I'm getting a lot of shades of like the 2020, was it 23 draft where. Slafkovský went first overall, or 22?
22.
Because that draft was completely unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And I think after you get past the first two picks, I'd be shocked if the first two picks weren't Schaefer and Misa. I think there's like a 95% chance the Sharks take Misa at two.
Yeah.
But after that, I think your guess is as good as anybody's about who goes where. I think teams are going to have their own boards, and it's going to be really interesting, because I think the one thing that's going to really set the tone is if Chicago decides to take a center at three, or if they take a winger, because if they take Martone at three, I think that changes things a little bit. But if they take a center, expect a really early run on centers, especially for the Flyers. I think the Flyers, the Predators, and the Bruins are all taking a center there.
I think that if they take a center, let's say they do take Frondell like you had, right?
Yeah.
You're going to go Frondell, and then after that, you're going to have – not in no order, Brady Martin go, the Noyers go, James Higgins go, and Jake O'Brien, I think, are all going to go at the same exact time.
Yeah, I think if the Chicago takes a center at three, I think you're going to get to see a really early run on centers. And that's why I have a guy like Martone falling to the Sabres, because I think the other teams are so desperate, they're going to be desperate for centers that they have to, because the Predators, the Flyers, and the Bruins, in my opinion, have to take a center.
I agree with that. And I don't hate that about the Blackhawks. And then you get down a little bit later, and then all of a sudden you get to Adek Kraken, and it's like, okay, what do they need? A defenseman is a good choice. Let's say they do go defenseman like you. And now at nine for the Sabres, if they didn't already trade their pick, which I highly doubt they're going to, if
I think the Sabres are in a situation where they have a deal in place, and they wait to see how the board falls, and if their guy's not there, then you trade out of that pick. Mm-hmm. I think that's an easy call. But yeah, if Martone's there, I'd be pissed if the Sabres traded out of that spot.
Is Martone the only guy right there? If he's available, it's like clean cut. Like have to draft him.
I think so. I mean, I think he'd be. I don't think he'd be in the NHL right away. I think he probably need a year.
Mm-hmm.
What league is he in again?
He is Martone's in the OHL.
Yeah, so he wouldn't be able to play in the AHL, so he'd probably have to play one more year in juniors. I hate that rule. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
I think they need to change that, but because there are some OHL players, like junior hockey players in Canada, that like, are way too good to be playing in juniors still. And they might not be good enough for the NHL yet, and they should be allowed to play in the AHL.
And that is nice, too, about a lot of these OHL guys or just CHL guys in general are going to college for a year. And then teams are like, you know, if we need to throw you in the AHL for a year, let's do it. And a lot of players understand that maybe playing in the AHL after a year of college is better for them than playing another pointless year. Because, honestly, a lot of these players know they should not be in juniors.
Yeah, I mean, they made an exception. With Shane Wright with Seattle, which he was the only player that got an exception made, where, you know, the Seattle didn't want to send him back down to juniors, so the league made an exception that allowed him to play in the AHL instead, which he's the only player they made that exemption for, which I don't like.
Yeah.
But I think there were a few other players last year that probably should have had that exemption made, but it is what it is. But I think this is going to be a pretty unpredictable class. I think this is a pretty weak class also, and no offense to any of the players, of course. They're way better than me than I'll ever be.
Yeah.
But I expect there's going to be some off-the-board picks or some guys that we've never heard of that gets picked late that might end up becoming superstars in a few years. It's going to be a wild night for sure on Friday.
You know what's crazy is I have the Columbus Blue Jackets at 20 taking a goaltender.
I don't think that's out of the question. I think there's a really high chance a goaltender goes late in the first round. I've been looking at mock drafts, and yeah, plenty of drafts have had a goaltender in the first round. I think Blue Jackets, that would make sense.
Yeah,
because they need a goalie.
They need one bad. It doesn't matter. Just even if you draft one, he doesn't play great in the AHL or wherever he is.
Yeah, goalies take time. When you're drafting a goalie, you're not. Realistically, I'm not expecting them to play in the NHL on a full-time basis till around 24, 25 years old. Like, I think the last goalie, I think that kind of made it except was Marc-Andre Fleury. That he came out right as an 18-year-old, which is insane.
That is.
Yeah, he was the number one overall pick.
I know that, but I didn't know that he came out right away.
Yeah, it was insane. And he actually wasn't that bad as an 18-year-old. Like, he was actually pretty good for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but the Penguins were awful. Like, they were really bad.
Like, maybe they had no choice, honestly, to play him. It was like, you're a number one overall pick. We're going to play you no matter what. And again, like, he didn't have a bad season. You see a lot of other goaltenders come in at 25, 26, even sometimes 27 or 28.
Yeah, goalies are a player you want to take your time with and make sure. Cause I think with goalies, if you send them up to the league too early, if they have like a bad start, just it gets in their head. And sometimes you see goalies never really get out of that.
You see sometimes too with goaltenders where they maybe get a taste of the NHL almost right away. It's like, okay, you're kind of struggling a little bit. We'll send you back down to the AHL for 2 to 3 seasons. They dominate the hell of it out of it. They work on their mechanics, everything. They come back up in the NHL, even though they may, whether they have a rough start or not, they know the confidence that they can perform. And then eventually they get into a groove. And we've seen some younger goaltenders, not in that situation, but like Jake Oettinger make his debut at 23, 24. Same with Sorokin. And so now they're some of the best in the league. And
I mean, same thing with Vasilevsky. He had a few years to cook, too, because the Lightning also were very lucky and had Ben Bishop for a few years while Vasilevsky was developing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, goalies, you definitely want to take your time with, because if you mess them up, you ain't ever fixing them. There's very rare instances, I think, where a goalie gets kind of put in the league too early that has a horrible start that really recovers.
I'm going to ask you this. If there's one team in the draft, it doesn't have to be inside the top 5, 10, whatever, just one team that you can see going completely off the board and surprising everybody, which team would that be?
What do you mean by picking like last year we saw
the Ducks take Bennett Sinecki at 3rd overall, like one of those type of like off the board picks.
I mean, I'm trying to think of teams that have multiple picks because I think that's where you're really going to see it. I know Chicago has multiple picks. I believe Montreal has multiple
picks. Montreal has them back-to-back.
I can see Montreal making an off-the-board pick, especially if there's some French-Canadian kid there. They love taking those French-Canadian kids kind of a little early.
I wonder if, I mean, a player like Benjamin Kindle, who had 100 points in the WHL, could be, I mean, the Canadians can take him as early as 16.
I mean, I think in your draft where Who'd you have? Let me look at the player list again.
Yeah.
With Brady Martin, like, well, you had him going 4. Yeah. I think that would be an off-the-board pick at 4.
Really? You think so?
I don't think he's going a 4th overall. I don't think he's a top 5 pick. I think he's maybe around 10, 11, 12. I think the earliest I could see him is Boston taking him at 7. That's if there's a run on centers.
Yeah, I guess Utah would be the one team that could go off the board, too. We've seen Ryan Smith want to be very aggressive, and this seems like one of those aggressive picks, whether his aggressiveness isn't just trades or signings, it can be drafting too, and taking a Brady Martin, and I think they need a big body center too, a young one at that. I think Brady Martin could be that guy, but Utah, for sure, I think could be that guy.
So I'm sure people in the comments are letting us know how stupid our picks were, like the way they were last year. Not sure how many we got right last year, but it doesn't matter, but let us know your thoughts. If we had a great mock draft, if we're both morons and we don't know what we're talking about, or I'm sure you'll let us know. So we'll look forward to reading the comments.
Yes, I will be responding to as many comments as I can. And thank you guys for watching again. We appreciate you guys. New episodes every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you guys want our full first round mock draft, again, follow our Instagram down below in the description. Subscribe, notification bell for content all summer long. And we'll see you guys in our next episode.